The reading is from 1 John, chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives.
Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, would you reveal yourself to us here tonight? Take these words and help us to truly know what it means that you have died for us. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, we saw that John gets it, didn't we? Listen, guys, he says, you have to get it. Jesus is God. Jesus is Lord. And his greatest desire is that we live in freedom. We live in joy. We live in the light. This is what we've heard. This is what we've seen with our own eyes, says John. So this morning we thought about life being eternal and relational and personal. And we're just going to develop that a little bit this evening as we start to look into this chapter from verse 5. Let me just read three verses now. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, verse 5. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. And if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. So in verse 6, what lie is John talking about here? We lie, he says. We're not truthful. Well, light and darkness, they simply do not mix, do they? So I think the first thing to note this evening is that please don't think that you can know God, that you can have fellowship with him and continually live your own way. How can we expect to be friends with God and rebel against him at the same time? Well, in the Bible, light refers to biblical truth, whilst darkness refers to error, falsehood. When we think of light, we think of holiness and purity. When we think of darkness, we think of sin, wrongdoing. Now, this light is not physical light, but spiritual light. In the Old Testament, you will know that light is often the way of God's revelation to men. In fact, light was the first manifestation of God in creation. Do you remember Genesis chapter 1? Just verse 3 of the whole Bible says that, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light." In the Old Testament, God went before Israel in a pillar of fire. He descended in fire at Mount Sinai, and he appeared in a luminous cloud which rested on the mercy seat in the most holy place. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. God is absolutely perfect, and there is nothing in God's character that is untrue. Now notice, please, that this is not John's message. This is the message of Jesus, verse 5. This isn't something that John has cooked up himself in his old age as he writes this letter. No. This is the message we have heard from him, and we declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Now, I wonder if you've ever experienced total darkness. It's not something that happens very often, because at night time, when we turn off the light and go to bed, once our eyes become accustomed to the darkness, there's usually a small amount of light. Now, if your name's Jeremy and you used to fly helicopters at night time, I guess then you knew what total darkness was. But the only time I've experienced it was something around about the age of 16 when I worked, some of you have heard this story before, but I worked for Woolworths, and some of you will be old enough to remember Woolworths when they used to be in the high street. Well, what happened was I was working as a schoolboy after school in the stockroom upstairs, baling these huge pieces of cardboard together in a baling machine. And there was another guy there working with me up in the stockroom where there were absolutely no windows. And suddenly, the power went off and the lights went off and everything stopped. And what we discovered later was that everyone else had gone home, didn't realise we were in the stockroom, and just left us there to our own devices. I literally put my hand in front of my face, and I can remember it now, and I could not see a thing. It was pitch black. And it was quite scary. I don't know if you've been in that situation, but total darkness is not a great place to be. Now, verse 7 tells us that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. As Christians, as we walk in the light, that walk results in an ongoing cleansing from sin, just as Sam referred to in his prayer earlier this evening. Our Lord continually forgives his own. And let me be clear, those walking in the light share in the very character of God. So we do not continue to walk in darkness. We walk in the light. Now, how we live really matters, you know. And it's the test of whether or not our faith is genuine. Living in the light, we are striving to be holy as we please God. We don't always get it right, of course. But we continue to strive to be like Jesus, don't we? And as we do that, we can be confident of forgiveness through him. And we have the enormous privilege of being adopted into his family. Let's look at verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Well, I believe that John is clarifying for us here two errors. The first error, that you can know God and still walk in darkness. That's wrong, my friends. The second error is that you do not sin, and therefore you don't need God's forgiveness. Well, when we read these words, John really couldn't be clearer, could he? By denying our sin or not even recognizing our sin, we are deceiving ourselves. And I wonder if you've ever heard these views expressed. Well, I'm a good person. I don't need to be forgiven. Really? How easy it is for us to deceive ourselves about our own sin, isn't it? It might be our pride or our sense of our own guilt, maybe comparing ourselves to others. Do you do that? Where we think, well, we're not as bad as them. I'm not as bad as him. Or I don't do what she does. Do we do that? Friends, the Bible tells us that claiming to be without sin is self-deceit. We are basically lying to ourselves, and it's a denial of the gospel. You and I are sinners. And the first step towards finding forgiveness is actually recognizing that. Confessing our sins, not just in a general sense, forgive me, Father, for all my sins, but being specific about where we've fallen short. Because, you know, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins. And more than that, he will purify us from all unrighteousness. So how do we do that, Stuart? What do I need to do? Well, we're to fix our eyes on Jesus. That's what John is telling us. Get rid of the sin that hinders. And let's be honest tonight, we're all creatures of habit, aren't we? We all need Jesus in order that we might live in freedom and liberty. So this continual confession of sin is an indication of genuine salvation. Because when we confess our sin, we say the same thing about sin as God does. Let me say that again. When we confess our sin, we say the same thing about sin as God does. In other words, we acknowledge his perspective about sin. So in verse 10 we read, if we say we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Since God has said that all people are sinners, then to deny that fact is to call God a liar, to blaspheme God. Now remember, John says, I've met this man, I've heard him speak, I've seen him, and I've learned from him. Do you know what? He has changed my life. He's transformed me. He is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. You know, living as we do in this crazy, complex world that we do, we all want some certainty, don't we? We all want some clarity, some conviction. The world wrestles with identity, doesn't it? Who am I? What makes me tick? John explains that if we put our trust in Jesus, we become a child of God. When you put your faith in Jesus, you have a new identity. And if you're hearing all of this for the first time tonight, then here's a fact for you. He is Lord and Savior of the whole world. That is a fact. And the Christian message is such a great message, and the heart of the Christian message is that it's free. We do nothing but receive it, accept it, and live in the light. Do you see that? God has come to us. And tonight we must be encouraged. Encouraged to accept this great message, and if we've already accepted it, encouraged to share it. So what do we know? We know that Jesus died for us, verse 7. This man Jesus lived here on this earth. That's a fact. This man Jesus died and rose again. That's a fact. He did that for you and he did that for me. That's a fact. And as we read John, we find that he uses those two words over and over and over again. We know, he says. We know. 42 times he says, we know. John gets it. He gets it, the truth about Jesus, and he wants us to get it too. Let me put it this way. There are certain days in our lives which stand out, aren't there? Special days. I'm sitting looking at Sam and Abby. I know there's a special day that stands out in their lives. And Sam, I hope you remember that wedding anniversary next year. Otherwise, you'll be in big trouble. But there are certain days that stand out for us, aren't they? They're so significant because something happened to us, an experience, an event that's maybe life-changing. I spoke this morning about the day I first became a father, 6th of October, 1983. And my life changed, as all dads will know. For you, there will be some remarkable days, exceptional days, happy days. Next month, I'll be celebrating together with my wife, Krista, a really special wedding anniversary. Now, I was about to say that we all remember 9/11. Well, actually, that's not true, because if you're listening tonight and you're maybe 18 or 19 years old, then believe it or not, 9/11 happened before you were even born. That makes me feel quite old. But for those of us that are older than 30, we remember, don't we, where we were, what we were doing when 9/11 happened. It was a significant moment in history. For some of us, as I've just said, getting married is a really life-changing event, learning to live with another human being. What about when you first heard about Jesus? What a day that was. Can you remember the person that first told you about Jesus? Well, we thank God, don't we, for that person. There will be a day in our memories for many of us this evening when we recognize for ourselves how badly we need the light. If you like, the day the penny dropped, the day our eyes were opened. I am the light, says Jesus. I bring light to the darkness. I can show you the way. John says, walk in the light, be in the light, be in Christ, totally surrounded by Christ, totally immersed in the light. That's the place we want to be, isn't it? Because when we look at verse 8 and we talk about acknowledging our sin, that's not a comfortable word, is it? It's a very personal word. And it's a very personal thing to acknowledge the sin that's in us. And it's strange, really, how we even try to hide it from ourselves somehow. We try to pretend that it's really not a problem. We can deal with it. We can stop sinning whenever we want, can't we? Oh, I can hear you now. Please don't say I'm a sinner, Stuart. Well, we all have a problem with this, don't we? Because we are all sinners. We like to go to the shadows, where it's not light and it's not dark, but we're all selfish. We think that no one can see us, and we all miss the mark, every one of us. If we claim to be without sin, We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's what we've read this evening. And if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. But God wants to make us one with him. That's the good news this evening. What does John say about God in verse 9? He says he is faithful to his promises. He is faithful to the willing sacrifice of his Son, the Lord Jesus. And please notice that if we confess our sins, not only will he forgive us our sins, he will purify us from all unrighteousness. Now that's worth repeating, isn't it? If we confess our sins, not only will he forgive us our sins, he will purify us from all unrighteousness. This is a lifelong process, my friends. Walking away from sin, walking towards a life of righteous holiness, striving for that life of righteous holiness. So we've spoken about some significant days, some important days. But that day, that significant life-changing day 2,000 years ago when Christ died, well, that day changed everything, didn't it? The picture of a suffering God dripping with blood, seemingly beaten. What was it we sang just a few minutes ago? Oh, to see the pain written on your face, wearing the awesome weight of sin, every bitter thought, every evil deed crowning your blood-stained brow. This, the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us. He took the blame. He bore the wrath. We stand forgiven at the cross. Hallelujah. It's actually quite an offensive picture, isn't it? I think of that image as I saw it portrayed on the big screen in the film, The Passion of the Christ. I cried when I watched that film. I knew they were actors in the film, of course, but it helped me to understand, to see the personal sacrifice that took place in order that we might be free. And let's praise God tonight that death could not hold him. Christ rose. Christ is alive. Another fact. And God wants life for us. So please tonight say yes to atonement. Yes to being one with God, enjoying his fellowship. Jesus has revealed to us the very heart of God. My friends, that's why he came. If you turn over the page to chapter 3 and verse 16, John says, by this we know, there it is again, we know love, that he laid down his life for us. People hate the idea of sin, don't they? It's seen as an old-fashioned, repressive, destructive word. And yet, these claims, they fly in the face of God's word, our own experience, and even common sense. God does not lie about this truth because he loves us. He wants us to know the joy and the freedom that forgiveness brings. So in conclusion, what will it mean for you to take these verses seriously tonight? Looking at how you view your own life. Looking at how you pray to God. Looking at how you speak to others. I'd love us to take a moment just now to reflect on what God has been saying to us through these verses today. In a few moments, we will sing our final hymn. We'll have our final prayer. And then what? Maybe we'll put the kettle on, make a drink, switch over to BBC One or Netflix or whatever. Carry on with our life. But let's just pause. Let me say again, what will it mean for you to take these verses seriously tonight? Looking at how you view your own life. Looking at how you pray to God and how you speak to others. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Paul says these words in Ephesians, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord." And I wonder if you would join with me now in this prayer. This may be the first time you've ever said a prayer quite like this, or maybe, like me, you've said it many, many times before. But please make this prayer your own tonight. "Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins, and I believe that you rose from the dead. Tonight I turn from my sins, and I invite you to come into my heart and my life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and my Saviour." Amen.